You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. What's happening in the news today? Well, the House Intelligence Committee has released some more testimony. They're dripping this out, drip, 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 to keep it in the news cycle. But I keep saying, there's nothing here. Why are they doing it? Now, I know why they're doing it, but most Americans don't. This is a distraction. It's a cover-up. The whole purpose of the impeachment is to cover up the wrongdoing of the Obama administration, not the Trump administration, and you have to understand that. So this is a way to muddy the waters, confuse the American people, and try as they keep trying, but failing to find a crime that rises to the seriousness of one that can be pursued by the Democrats for impeachment. They don't have it. They simply don't have it. It's a repeat of what the Obama administration did. Think about it. What is the crime of that's leading to political scandal? And it's all going to come out next year. It'll start to dribble out maybe the end of this month. We keep hearing promises. Maybe December. And what I'm talking about is the Department of Justice Inspector General report that's finished, but it, for some reason, it's not released, at least to the public. And I always say, and you need to point out, this Inspector General report, he could only interview people that are still working at the Department of Justice and the FBI. That's point number one, keep that in mind. And they don't prosecute. If they find behavior in either the Department of Justice or the FBI, they can make what's called a criminal referral. And then it's up to the Attorney General and the U.S. attorneys assigned to it to determine if there is evidence of a crime, or do they have enough evidence to impanel a grand jury and present the evidence. Remember, the grand jury is the ones that is the body, if you will, the legal entity that actually indicts people. But remember, an indictment is not a conviction. That only means that then it's up to the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorneys, to prosecute these people in federal court. Now, I gave you that little background for a reason. That is similar to an impeachment. The impeachment is, and it's been compared, many people have compared it to a grand jury. Well, it's not a grand jury because the grand jury meets very much in secret. It's controlled by the prosecutor, and it's not balanced. Just because someone is indicted, that means they're going to have to defend themselves. But that is far from a conviction, and that's something that needs to be emphasized. Well, in an impeachment, the only way you're going to get a valid impeachment of a president, it has to be public. You have to have the American people behind you. And public opinion is very much divided in this. And it comes down to which polls you believe. I don't believe any of them because there's a problem with them. It's if you overrepresent Democrats, you're going to get a different result as opposed to a more balanced or reasonable in terms of the people you sample. I would say easily 40% of the public today are individuals. dependent. It could be as high as 45%, maybe even higher, but somewhere in that range, which means that 60% or less are Democrats and Republicans. Yet typically in these opinion polls, the biggest number sampled are Democrats. Keep that in mind. And you have to win all the American people, not just Democrats or Republicans, but also independents, especially if they are the majority, and they are. I say that because Adam Schiff is running this like a grand jury where he's in charge. He's the prosecutor. The problem they have and the challenge they have, they trip themselves up. See, initially, this was all planned out. It certainly was planned out. But then President Trump had a surprise for him. And the surprise was he released the memorandum of conversation. It's more or less a transcript. Now, people can quibble with this, but they do have stenographers on the call. And after the call is finished, they write up their notes. And it is reviewed by the people in the conversation to make sure nothing significant is left out. Because Trump is emphasizing, read the transcript, read the transcript. Well, I know most Americans aren't going to read the transcript. Have you read the transcript? I haven't read the transcript. I rely on experts, though, to determine, did the president do anything wrong? And now the president characterized the call as perfect. It was cordial. Appropriate, I would think, is a better term, but he likes to say it was perfect. The key point is nothing criminal was discussed. Now, the Democrats are trying to say that, and that's what Schiff, see, where Schiff, I think, really lost it and lost all credibility, not that he had much to begin with, is when he did a parody. Now, if you were watching on TV and he didn't hold up a sign and say, well, this is a parody, he gave the distinct impression to the American people that were listening to it that this was verbatim. And it was simply what he was saying was totally untrue. As a matter of fact, people were calling in, did Donald Trump really say this? Well, the answer is no, he didn't. What's going on here? And why are the Democrats sort of running scared? What they're really scared of is what I call Spygate, my longer title for it is the Clinton Obama Democrat criminal conspiracy. That's what they're really scared of, and that's going to hit next year. So I'm not going to talk more about it, except it is serious. And I would say many people should be going to prison. Now, the key point is the Department of Justice has to gather the evidence through the FBI of the wrongdoing, and you got to prepare a criminal case. In this case, you want to go after the higher-ups. Who are the higher-ups here? Oh, it's an interesting list. The President of the United States, Barack Obama. His National Security Advisor, Susan Rice. Samantha Power, his United Nations Ambassador. They are allegedly involved in unmasking. Someone had to unmask. Unmasking is when, for example, either the National Security Agency or the FBI are surveilling someone. In other words, they're listening to their phone calls, among other things, and reading their emails. They will be talking with American citizens that are not in any plot. They're incidental, really, to the phone call or the chain of letters or chain of phone calls. So unless someone is involved in a criminal conspiracy or done something illegal, you're not supposed to disclose the people that are doing this surveillance, the NSA, the National Security Agency, or the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The people there are not supposed to disclose the name of the American citizen. They have rights under the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights to privacy, and you would be invading the privacy. Remember, this is at the investigation stage, and this goes on all the time because the United States is being spied on from many nations, and you want to stop that, and that means you have to do investigations of the people that truly are spying on the United States and don't wish as well. So in theory, all of their names should not be disclosed. But what happens? People in the White House can request the names. Now, remember, the White House, together with most other departments in the government, they are consumers of intelligence. They don't gather, analyze, and then present it. No, they take the product of the intelligence community to determine policy and actions to take. Now, I'm explaining this because you need to know a little bit about Spygate. Spygate is a short away. It was very much a criminal conspiracy, though. They were spying on President Trump, candidate Trump, and President Trump, 2016 and 2017, until they left and Trump moved in. They have a problem, though. In doing it, they broke the law. You're not supposed to spy on your political opposition, its campaign, and the people involved in the campaign. The only way they could do it legally was mislead the court, and that's a crime in and of itself. They admitted the fact that the basis, the foundation for getting this warrant, which enabled them to surveil a number of people. Remember, the warrant was initially for who? Carter Page. Carter Page hasn't been arrested. He hasn't done anything wrong. That was a way for the Obama administration to spy on the people involved in the Trump campaign. Because whoever he called or he emailed or contacted can then in turn be surveilled. It's like a chain letter. But there was a problem. Actually, there was one big problem. No one thought that Hillary Clinton was going to lose the election. And that was key, because if you assume that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president of the United States, then you can be arrogant and abuse power because you think you're going to get away with it. Hillary Clinton's not going to prosecute people that were really trying to help her out to win. That's what we're talking about here. But that didn't happen. Donald Trump won. Because Donald Trump won and became president, he now controls many, I would say all the levers of power, and he can now go after the people that were involved in criminal activity, felonies, and they were. You see, you're not, when you present a warrant application for surveillance, and remember this is a intelligence or counter-espionage investigation, you're supposed to verify all the information in the warrant is true. They couldn't do it. The person that wrote what's called the Christopher Steele dossier, all it is a summary of several emails that he got, dressed up as an intelligence report when it isn't. It was based on really fabricated information. No one could verify any of it. That's why the newspapers for all of the 2016 election campaign wouldn't print it. They didn't want to be sued. They certainly didn't want to be sued by Donald Trump, that has a reputation. He wants to go for the jugular and take you for every penny you have. So what I call big lie media, your television networks and the newspapers, stayed away from this. Now, there's a reason I'm giving you all this background information, and I'm not giving you a lot. I'm just giving you some of the high points, because it fits in. There's a pattern here, folks. The pattern is one of criminal behavior, and you got to know the type of behavior they're engaged in. They are spying, is probably the best word. Donald Trump said wiretapping. That's sort of the past, but it still goes on. It's surveillance. You're trying to intercept all the communications between the people that you target. And who was targeted? Donald Trump was targeted. His campaign was targeted. For all we know, the Republican Party was targeted. But they have a real big problem. They never found anything. Keep that in mind. They never found anything. They didn't find a crime. They were accusing Donald Trump of colluding. Well, there's no such crime as colluding. And I need to remind people, just because people talk to Russians doesn't mean they're committing a crime. It's perfectly legal for Americans to talk to Russians. Only if they're engaged in criminal activity does it become illegal, and most times they're not. A phone call is not illegal. Now, it's different if you're planning a terrorist attack, obviously. So the final results, and remember, this warrant was renewed 3 times. I believe it's a 90 days times 4. Every 90 days it has to be renewed. And it was renewed. By who? People in the Department of Justice when Trump was president. How do you like that? They came up with nothing. They came up, I call it, they came up empty. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if they had come up with any substantiated crime, they would have used it, first of all, in the campaign as a surprise in October 2016. They did not. Now, they had another surprise. That's the Access tapes. And many people thought the Access tapes surprise knocked Donald Trump out of the race. Well, he didn't take himself out. Oh, he got knocked down, but he quickly stood back up and beat Hillary Clinton in the debate right after that. And he didn't, after asking around his key advisors, Bannon said, don't get out. And Trump didn't get out. The others were saying, get out. Take yourself off the ticket. Well, he didn't take that advice. And because he didn't take that advice, he's president today. Now, there are other reasons. The biggest reason I went into, last show, is the fact that he made the illegal alien invasion of this country issue number one. And ladies and gentlemen, he's going to get reelected on that issue, too. Now, however, he has a fairly substantial record of accomplishing many of the things that he set out to do. Not all of them. And the biggest promise still not met is in the immigration area, namely, has not built a 1,000-mile wall. Now, that's what he promised. That was part one of the promise. Part two of the promise was he has not deported all the illegal aliens that are here, whatever that number is, whether it's 1 or 60 million. It's somewhere between 0 and 60 million. I'm being a little facetious here. In my mind, it's somewhere between 30 and 60 million because this invasion continues right up to today. Every single day, you have people flying into the United States, for example, legally, and they don't go home. They like it here, and they don't go home. That's one way they come in, and that's, you get, again, various estimates. That's somewhere between 30 and 50%. No one knows the real number. And yes, we're trying to address that problem, because if you overstay your visa, depending on how long you overstay, and they catch you, they're going to deport you, and you're not supposed to come back for 10 years. Does that stop people from so-called hiding in the shadows? No. People are working here, and you need to earn a living. That's something I need to emphasize. The people that are here illegally, the number one reason, primary reason they're here, is to work, to improve their lot in life, and they stay here. And many have lived and worked here for years, 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, some even over 30. Remember, the last amnesty was when Reagan was president in 1986. And a total little over 2.7 million illegal aliens that met certain requirements got citizenship. I remind you of that because this has been a recurring problem in U.S. history. It's both legal and illegal. Today, the United States allows a little over a million people to legally come to the United States every year. Now, the American people largely don't support that. They support legal immigration, but they don't support a million. They certainly don't. I've talked to a bunch of people over the years, and most of them will say 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 500,000, but rarely, if ever, will anyone say a million. My own recommendation is when unemployment is very low and you need workers, then I would allow a maximum of 500,000. Remember, today it's a million plus. It's always slightly more than a million. Conversely, if we're in a recession and the unemployment rate is 6% or more, then the maximum should be about 250,000, which, interesting enough, is the average for many, many decades. So the American people support legal immigration, point one. Point two is the only argument is how many. And most would agree that somewhere in the 100,000s is the more appropriate number. And then the third point, and this is what Trump is pushing, we should specify the criterion, or what do we want? Who do we want to come here as legal immigrants? The best, the brightest, people that want to invest money, not the current system. So those are my summary of the legal part of this. Now, I bring it up because what is really going on? And it is related. Related, and I'll bring it there in a few minutes, to the impeachment inquiry starting next Wednesday. This is sort of a lead-up, and the way the Democrats are handling it, they're leaking. Actually, they're releasing testimony. They select the testimony that they want to release. And it's usually, it looks like it's a lot of pages to go through. And it takes the media forever to do it, unless you're a speed reader. They're trying to control the process by, obviously releasing information that supports their case, or they at least want to give you the impression supports their case. I maintain it doesn't, for the simple reason, what is the best evidence regarding the telephone conversation that Donald Trump had with the President Zelensky of the Ukraine? The best evidence is the memorandum of conversation. Actually, though, and no one has brought this up, I've been following this, and no one seems to bring this up. Is it really the best evidence? I don't know. It might very well be. I'm not casting doubt on this, other than I would have thought that they're making a recording of this, intentionally making a recording of this. And that's important because if you had a recording, and I think it's closely held, though, the people that prepare the transcripts can go back and if there's anything unclear or people might argue, well, you left something out, well, check it with the recording. Actually, the best thing to do is take the recording and just literally verbatim transcribe it. So in my mind, that's still an open question. Is there a recording? If there is, release it. If you're going to release the memorandum of conversation, if you have a recording, release it. Now, let's assume the people on the call, the White House, State Department, did not record it. It would surprise me if they did not record it, quite frankly. And who would record everything? And that's the National Security Agency. And they are involved in surveillance. They are the implementers of Spygate. They get you the raw product, the conversations that the people in the Trump campaign made. Now, people intelligence know this is going on all the time, like General Michael Flynn. They accused him lying to FBI agents, even though the FBI agents that interviewed him said it more or less corresponded with the transcript they had. You see, they had the transcript. But remember, human mind is not a tape recorder. And really, it can lead to a lot of mistakes. Most people don't recall the details. It's that simple. I have no recollection. That's why some lawyers will say the best answer is I have no recollection. I don't recall it. Hillary Clinton uses this a lot, even if she knows exactly the most irrelevant point. I don't think even she knows the details of a telephone conversation because you make so many of them. The only thing you have is the key. What was the conclusion of the call, if there was one? You have a vague recollection at best, in my mind, unless you record it. I get back to the recording. So maybe, like in the Watergate situation, maybe one of the surprises of this impeachment process is one of the witnesses will say, there's a recording. See, that's what happened in Watergate, and I think the template, to a certain extent, not in terms of fairness, though, is the Nixon Watergate hearings. Now, eventually, we're going to have Spygate hearings. You better believe Spygate is going to get a lot of attention. It's going to be in the courts. They're going to have to cover it. Because when all of this comes out, a lot of people's reputation, the president, the attorney general, the FBI director, the CIA director, and others, and the people working for them, many of those people are going to give testimony under oath to the FBI director and the Department of Justice. And then the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorney assigned to this, John Durham, is going to have to make a decision. Do I have enough evidence to prosecute these people? And he's looking for people that were involved in the criminal conspiracy that have inside knowledge of it. It's just like doing a drug case or a mob organized crime case. You start at the bottom and you work your way up. And what you're trying to do is get informants to tell you what was really going on. And that has been going on, I think, for probably a year, maybe even longer. We don't know. I think there's a lot of evidence, but is there enough evidence to prosecute? That will be very much a determining factor. So given the fact that this is going to happen in 2016, what are the Democrats doing? They don't want you to focus on that. They know once that starts breaking in the news, in other words, first the Inspector General report, then over time, I say 2020, I think it's going to be middle to the latter part of 2020. I don't think there's going to be any immediate rush to prosecute, but they have a ticking clock, and that is the statute of limitations. And most of this activity occurred in 2015 and 2016, some of it probably in 2017. But you can do the math. If it happened in 2015, 5 years is 2020. now is the latter part of 2015 and the beginning of 2016. So they have to stop that statute of limitation clock from running out, they have to stop it by indicting these people. Otherwise, I won't say all of them are home free, but many of them will be home free. The clock will run out, and you can't prosecute them. I bring that up because that's what happened with the Hillary email server and the destruction of all these emails. Well, that was done when she was in the State Department, and that clock ran out in 2018, the early part of 2018. The U.S. Department of Justice and the people assigned to these cases, they're under the gun. They have to decide who they're going to prosecute, who are they going to let off, and who are they going to squeeze to roll over or inform. Now, the Democrats, especially the attorneys familiar with this process, how can we divert the public's attention from it? Keep that in mind. How can we divert the public's attention? Guess what? You're seeing it played out live. Every day, or nearly every day, the House Intelligence Committee, under the chairmanship of Adam Schiff, the unbelievable Adam Schiff, that lied about what the president said. See, in my mind, when he did that, he should have lost his chairmanship. The minimum should have been his loss of chairmanship and membership on that committee. Democrats didn't do that. And the reason is they know Adam Schiff is a liar and the ends justify the means. The ends is getting, what's the end here? Get Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, out of office. That's the end. And any means is justifiable, including lying, misrepresenting what's going on. And they're certainly not going to make it a fair hearing. They're trying to give you the impression it's fair, but think about it. When you're in the trial phase, both parties can call witnesses, and both parties can cross-examine each other's witnesses. They'll present a witness, and then if it's a defense witness, then the prosecutor can ask questions. Conversely, if it's a prosecutor witness, the defense can ask questions. But what we've seen in the private part of this, where it's hauled in a skiff, where classified information is presented, it's out of sight, out of mind. You don't know what's going on. Well, what we're hearing is Schiff is instructing some of these witnesses not to answer the question. The big witness, anything to do with the so-called whistleblower. You would think, I would think, the Republicans for sure should be asking, not asking, demanding. Because all this started with a complaint by a so-called whistleblower. I say so-called because I don't believe this person qualifies. He wasn't in on the telephone. Let's cut to the chase. He wasn't listening in on the telephone conversation. He has no knowledge of it. He was back at the CIA. Remember, he worked, and the name's been released. Eric, CIA Caramella. There's different pronunciations. The Republicans should demand and insist that the person that brought this complaint, the reason we're having this whole proceeding, in my mind, should be the first witness. What are the charges? If you question, they are hiding the whistleblower. Oh, he has to be anonymous. He's not anonymous. All the major media know of him. Most people in Congress know about him. Many people that listen to talk radio know about it. This is the worst kept secret. And I would say U.S. history, when everybody knows his name, it's not a question, who was your daddy? Who was the whistleblower? Everybody knows who the whistleblower is. Then why don't the Republicans get an opportunity to question him? And they have legitimate means to do this. Because he said his complaint was based on conversations he had. He was working for the National Security Council for about the first 6 months of the Trump. He was what they call a holdover. But he was a partisan Democrat, worked for Obama and the National Security Council, and Joe Biden. This person should be on the witness list and should definitely be called. I would say he should be the number one witness. They're not going to make him the number one witness. They're trying to, because this is falling apart, it's really falling apart so much that I urge the Democrats to keep doing this because I think you're going to fail and you deserve to fail. You're going to be hopefully irreparably damaged. Now, I know that's not going to happen with this, but it will happen once Spygate gets on. That's when the real scandal pops. And I keep saying, that's why they're doing this. the better strategy would be ignore it, because this is not going to beat. If your real end is to get Donald Trump out of office, if that's your real end, this isn't going to accomplish it. So we're going to hear from a Deputy Assistant Secretary of State instead, George P. Kent. But he wasn't in on the phone conversation either. And see, what's going on here, you have a number of high and low level, you know, from ambassadors to people in the Department of State that don't like the fact that the President of the United States, remember, he was elected by 63 million people with 304 Electoral College votes. He's in charge. And if he wants, for example, Rudy Giuliani to assist the Ukrainian and Ukrainian government, and the Ukrainian government is the one that's investigating, they want to get to the bottom of what happened in the previous government that interfered in the 2016 election on whose behalf? Hillary Clinton. It should be investigated. Donald Trump didn't start it. Rudy Giuliani, his attorney, didn't start it. The Ukrainians want to get to the bottom of this. You had corrupt politicians in the previous administration working with Hillary Clinton because they thought she was going to be elected president. You see, a lot of people were assuming and making assumptions like this can bite you, that Hillary Clinton was going to win, so they were trying to help her out to score some points so they could get some more aid. And lo and behold, Hillary Clinton lost, and now we're getting more visibility as to the illegal activity in the Obama administration. So George P. Kent, a Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for European and Asian Affairs, whatever, he was critical of this, but remember, he has no firsthand knowledge of the. If he's called to testify, and again, it's hearsay, that's the thing. So here's the important point. Only next Wednesday we will see some of these witnesses, and George P. Kent supposedly is going to be the leadoff. I immediately just said, wait a minute. The lead witness should be the one that filed the complaint, and it was a bogus complaint, and it's not covered under the whistleblower statue, and you can't hide them. That's what the Democrats are doing, hiding them. And so is Big Lie Media. They're not talking about them. Because if he were grilled, questioned, cross-examined by Republicans or an attorney working for the Republican side, they would punch holes in this. He was partisan. He was part of the smear campaign. He was creating another smear campaign. And lo and behold, who was involved in it? Oh, yeah, the chairman of this committee. Several weeks before he filed the complaint, this gentleman was talking to Adam Schiff's staff and preparing a legal brief. It all really fell apart big time when Donald Trump released, and he did release, the memorandum of conversation. So hopefully we're going to hear a lot more. What the Democrats are trying to do, and Big Lie Media is trying to do, is say that Mayor Giuliani was investigating Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's role in the Ukraine, when who's really doing the investigation? The current government. So there's a lot of dust blowing in the air. It's really a distraction cover-up, first and foremost, of what really happened in 2016, and that's what Mayor Giuliani was tasked to do, and that's why the president is entitled to decide, do I do this through official channels or not? And we're going to hear from, for sure, the former ambassador. Her nose is out of joint because she was recalled, whether validly or not. The impression was that there was an organized campaign to get her out. That's why these people need to be questioned. And witnesses challenging the testimony of these people need to be called. You can't just assume what these people say is gospel. You need to know, for example, the whistleblower. Who was he talking to? Where did he get all the information? And all those people need to be called. Some were in on the conversation. Some weren't. So you need to question all these people, and it's not clear at all whether, a matter of fact, from what we know so far, this is not going to be a fair hearing. But we have something that's different starting next Monday. It's going to be televised, public. So when Adam Schiff gets on his high horse, he's going to be exposed for what he is. He is a liar. He is a liar, and I think he's part of this attempt to, what are they trying to do? Get Donald Trump out of office. Will they succeed? No. And Donald Trump wants to use this to expose the Democrats for what they're doing or not doing. What they're not doing is the people's business. Now, tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of the worst fire in California. And today, the fires are still burning in California. I lived in California from 1968 to mid-1973. I was going to grad school there at the University of California at Berkeley. I really liked it. I like Berkeley. I like the climate. But it's changed. And today, you're seeing some of the impacts. People are leaving California, one, because they're overtaxed, and two, the government has screwed it up with regulations. And now there's a lot of finger-pointing. They want to blame the fires on PG&E. Well, if people build houses in a forest that can catch fire, and how do they catch fire? There are many reasons they can catch fire. But when you have a drought, everything is dry, you have winds upwards of 40, 50, 60 miles coming. Anything can ignite it, and once it's ignited, it can spread very, very fast, and that's what happens. So when the wind dies down, the firefighters can, over time, get control over it, but if the wind comes back, it causes more and more fires. Now, eventually, it starts to rain, and that's what they're praying for, that the wind will die down, it will rain, and right now, hopefully, the fires will, this month, be put out. We'll see. But remember, I don't think the Californians have learned the lesson, because what are people doing? They like where these homes are. You're surrounded by woods, forest. It's nice. Well, it is nice until lightning, one of the major causes, ignites a fire. Well, I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. I wasn't going to spend much time on this because I'm in Dallas. The people of Dallas have their own issues and problems. But we should learn a lesson from California. When government gets bigger and bigger because you have one political party, namely the Democratic Party, dominating the governorship and both houses, what happens over time? You get what you're having now. People are leaving California, and many of them are coming to Texas, but other states. People will walk with their feet, just like the illegal aliens are leaving their country and coming to the United States. There's United States, there's a lot of attractions. It might not be perfect, but you have people from around the world coming from the United States, and many people from California leaving the states for many other states. And it's not just California. It's really where the government is largely controlled by Democrats that for many years have not only increased government spending, have increased the tax burden on the American people. And if you're successful and have earned a lot of money, they want to tax you and tax you and tax you. In other words, they want to steal your money in the name of government. Well, thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.